Okay, it's 7 o'clock. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
Make a motion to begin the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. I had to turn the tape recorders on.
All right. Let's have a moment of silence and pray for wisdom. Tonight we have Commissioner Hall and Commissioner Metcalf and City Clerk Deb Lush and City Treasurer Dan Small, Linda Beville, Commissioner Linda Beville and Commissioner Carol Campbell are on the phone on a conference with us because of their condition with the COVID 17. If not that they have it, they just have concerns. So Steve will probably be here shortly. So we'll just move along to the first thing on the agenda, which is the February 18th, 2020 city meeting minutes. Did anybody have any corrections or anything that needed to be adjusted on it? If not, do I hear a motion to pass the minute or motion?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Thank you, Commissioner Hall, for the second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those. All right. All those opposed? Aye. The unanimous. Our city attorney, Steve Schreider, just showed up, so we're moving right along. Next is the cancellation memorandum for the March 21st, 2020 city meeting. And did anybody object to how it was written?
No.
All right. Do I hear a motion to accept?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, it passed. Moving along to the city financial reports for February 2020. Any problems with the city financial reports for February? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports for February 2020?
Make a motion to accept.
Motion to accept.
They can't really do it.
Okay.
All right, Commissioner Hall, thank you for your motion. Thank you for your second, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, it was passed.
Are you all not able to hear us?
No, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm just wondering because we're making motions and seconding.
Well, you can't make a motion. All we can do is accept your approval. The way it's written. I got enough people here to do it, okay?
Okay, that's okay with me.
All right. Just trying to get this stuff done. March 2020 financial reports. Is there any corrections? Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. All right. Moving right along. Old business on the agenda, which we meant to get to in February, was the repayment to the general fund from the road funds for the...
Skip the expenses.
Is that a what?
You skip the expenses.
Oh, yeah, because it's not on here. Okay. All right, we got the expense approvals that need to be done. Thanks to City Clerk Deb Lush. Has everybody reviewed the financials or the city expenses for March?
Yes.
Is there anybody to object that hasn't approved them or finds a problem with them? Oh, okay. It's going around and being signed, so once it gets back to us, we'll take care of that one.
It's Carol Campbell Rhodes.
And the same thing for the March. They're being passed around.
I'm just going to sign Rhodes. She's on property.
Seems Carol signed on the wrong road, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And you're a school teacher.
That's all right. We can live with it. We'll let it slide. All right.
These are difficult times.
All right, so Commissioner Hall's working on his initialing right now for both the February and March. We'll get them passed around. Once they're all initialed, they'll be approved by their initials. Now we move on to old business. Okay. I don't have an objection from the city clerk. Repayment of the general fund loan from the road funds. This was monies that we expended on the Bay Run project, and we had been paying it back over the years, and there was some portion of it, was it like $43,000 or something?
Goodness.
It's on the financial report. Is that what's on the financial report thing? Okay. The amount is $46,178.95, which has been, we have in the road fund. It's been sitting there, just didn't realize it needed to be repaid. So, is there any questions about what this is about? Because I can answer it.
Yeah, but I would like to know exactly what did you borrow it?
Okay, back in 2015, we did it in the fall of 2015. They had put, if anybody will remember, they had put all our road funds or majority of our road funds in CDs, and we needed to do a project, and I tried to convince them to transfer the one CD from ownership from road fund or from the road division to the general fund, but they didn't want to do that. So what we did was they started collecting when the road funds come in, they would take that off the amount that was that we did not have. The general fund actually paid for a good portion of the Bay Run project. And
what was the Bay Run project?
Asphalting. We did all that asphalting. The Bay Run did not have a crown on their street. We did all the streets in Bay Run back in, I think it was August or September of 2015. The new speed humps and everything.
I remember you telling me about it, and Steve was talking about it also.
Yeah. Well, that's what that was for. But the apparently, we had the funds. We've had the funds. They just quit. Once we reached a certain amount, the road fund apparently quit, had more to pay into it. So, anyhow, it's the amount that I just stated, the $46,000 and change, and I'd like to get that transferred back to the general fund if I don't hear any objections. But the city auditors, the city auditors, the ones that's been doing our audits, brought this up to our attention at this last audit reading of 2018. So that's the reason why I want to get it done. Just get it all transferred back and get that cleaned up on our books. So do I hear a motion to transfer the funds out of the road fund to pay it back to general fund?
Well, I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. I didn't hear no negatives, so I guess he was unanimous. All right. Now, Linda, I think the only thing you've got is the next item is we've got a. Were you going to update on the lights before now, or were you going to wait until the commission report?
I can do it now. That's fine. They have finished putting in the lights that we requested. In the new business, I'll bring up the additional lights that we will get today.
Okay. Did you have? Do we know when they're going to turn the one up in the circle on Queen Anne's on? Are they still working on that one?
One of what?
On Queen Anne's Court. They got the.
They should be on tonight.
Okay, I'll check it tonight. When I drive around, I'll go back there. But last night, that one that's up in the cul-de-sac, the very end one. Wasn't on last night, but I thought, well, maybe they just haven't gotten that one connected yet.
Well, they were still working on them today.
So okay.
Could be connected. Okay. But there's three on Queen Anne's. There's
right.
There's
one. Yeah, the one at the corner and the one that's about three or four doors up was working this morning. Okay. Anything else? All right. Has everybody still got their paperwork on the 2021 proposed budget? You looking it over? Because we'll start working on that next, talking about that next month, because PVA will be sending the information on the properties, supposedly this coming Friday, which will give us an idea of what the property tax amount that we can possibly expect. So I need I'll be updating the 2021 budget proposal amount for that once we have it. All right. I guess we'll just wait to see what's going to go on this fall with our community celebration. See if this thing's still going on.
Well, I've still got Easter baskets in handy over here.
Well, don't go into a sugar coma, okay?
Fort Derby in September.
Yeah. Just put some baskets out on your front lawn.
Yeah.
Are they in your way?
No, they're not. I have them in my spare room where it's.
Okay, good. All right. Let's move now to the city attorney's report.
Okay.
Do you have something on the business license?
Yeah. Linda and Carol segued into Linda's email with questions regarding this proposed ordinance about charging a business license fee. Required an application, and I responded, and I didn't bring that to me, but Linda's concerns, and if you want to raise these, Linda, what I'm going to do is, and I sent that email, I think, to everybody, but I think we need to discuss that, and I'll let Linda maybe respond to what I responded to, and have a conversation about it, and then I want to take the temperature. See, if everybody's inclined to do that, then I'll spend the time necessary to prepare the ordinance. The first reading can be perfunctory, and basically all I have to do is say that the first reading was had for the passive business license fee ordinance. So Linda, with that said, if you want to address your concerns in response, in relation to my responses, maybe this would be a time to speak up and we'll talk about this and see what direction the wind is going in. Kind of.
I
could sit my question to Bob earlier. Did you get my response to them?
Yes, I did.
Okay, then if you want to address your concerns, Linda, this would be the time to do it. And then, you know, maybe if, you know, your questions were well thought out and
okay.
I responded. So do you still have concerns about it or questions?
I don't really. Once you clarified who was going to, the question I asked about who is going to listen to the application, and you had said the appropriate commissioner, and I didn't understand that. So then you said it would go to the court.
Yeah, I think that's better because I don't think that comes under any of the commissioner's umbrellas or bailiwicks of responsibility. So I think that Beverly would be the one to submit that to, and we can put that in the application.
And then Carol had asked the question about who was going to check the business reputation and their moral character, and you said that you would check on their whether or not they were in good standing with the state.
I think, Linda, beyond that, Carol, beyond that, I think that's all we can do. Number one,
correct.
I think that you need, there has to be a legal entity, either an LLC or an Inc., that has been filed with the Secretary of State, and then when you get online, anybody can go to that and put in the name. There's a yellow horizontal line, and you put in the first six or seven characters of that business, and it'll pop up. And then it'll show whether they're active and in good standing. I think the requirement would be that they're both active and good standing. And then you can drill down on that, and you can see the documents that have been recorded to a point. The thing I always look at is the last annual report. And then you can see who the owners and members are. And if most instances, unless someone just goes out of business, they get administratively dissolved because they don't file the annual report. So I think for everybody who submits an application, I will drill down and check with the Secretary of State to determine if they file a legal entity, and then two, if they're in good standing and active. So if someone submits an app and I check it or not, then we have to tell them, look, you got to get straightened out with the Secretary of State. The reason you want to do that is because Inks and LLCs, a lot of attorneys think, or a lot of people think, that all you have to do is file the articles, but you don't. In an Inc., which no one's doing anymore, you have to, you know, file, have annual minutes in for both director and shareholders, and you have to have bylaws and stuff. The thing with LLC is none of that's required. So the key is that they're in active and good standing, and then you can find out by looking at the annual report who the owners are. And then if they are in active and good standing, then I don't think that we can go beyond that, unless you can get on like one of these search engines like Ben Verify or something to see if they have a criminal record. But you can also go to, I have CourtNet, I can also check on CourtNet, 120 counties, that's something I pay for, and I can put in a name and determine if, and you can both go to civil and criminal records to determine if there's any, if the owner or owners have been charged criminally, and then you can find out the results of that. I mean, Bob could go downtown tomorrow and take out a warrant for me for hitting him, and, you know, my defense would be that I didn't, but nonetheless, it'll show the disposition of the case. So if you see fraud or misrepresentation, or if you see a criminal case, then we could say, look, you know, we can address this at time. So there's numbers of checks and balances that I can drill down on if someone submits an application. So that, you know, no one's, if someone's been sued civilly for breach of contract or for committing a tort, someone gets hurt, that I can drill down and see if they were seen successfully. But the key to that is that if they're in good standing with the Secretary of State, then they have the protection of the law. When you do that, you have what the corporate shield is. You are protected from personal liability. So that's why it's important that they're active in good standing. And then, of course, we would want proof of insurance. That would be another requirement on the application, is proof of insurance. So we can check in response to that one in Carol and you know, make certain that if we pass this ordinance and if people submit an application, I do the checks that I just talked about, that we can be set with insurance. And I think we'd be satisfied to a point that you know, we're pretty good in giving them you know, the license, so to speak. And one of the other questions is that, you know, like Dan and I have to have licenses. So, you know, if it's an industry where a license is required, that will be another point of another document that we're going to have to complete or submit to us. And so with all these checks and balances, I think we'll wind up with people, if we pass this ordinance, who are operating within the city, and which really shouldn't result in any blowback to us as the city. There wouldn't be any vicarious liability anyway. So anyway, that's kind of in response to your question. What I don't remember is what Bob, this is a proposal of Bob's, not mine. He's proposed this legislation, and I don't know what Bob put in for the fee. It's not a tax. It's not
an occupation tax. The idea was, the reason why this came up, Dennis and I went to a class at the end of February over at the Kentucky League of Cities, and there was a company over there whose business is to find revenue dollars for cities that they're missing because of ordinances that are not being followed. And this one came up was the business fee, okay? And they were bringing up not only the businesses that were running out of the homes, you know, for the particular residents, but they also brought up the fact that there's major companies that have people working at home that aren't getting, you know, because of in this, the one case that I can think of, is the home health care. We got two or three people in Worthington Hills that work from their home that are in home health care and home nurse services, and how they schedule that stuff from their house. They don't have to go into the office to do so. They do everything from the house. And they work for a major health company. And this is the kind of items that they can also uncover. And that got me thinking, I think probably Dennis also, but I thought, you know, we've got people working out of their homes, and with this COVID-19, you know, not to take advantage of a situation, because what I'm looking at is not making this effective until January 1st, so we can have those on a calendar year. That way we've got enough time to work our way through this and make it publicly known so that we can do a good job or get the job done without having to track a whole bunch of people down. But this particular company had some good points, and I wanted to bring this up because I thought, you know, I'm not a fan of occupational tax, but for companies that are operating not without, you know, without a brick and mortar facility, using, you know, the residents, it's not the residents that are going to end up paying the fee. It's going to be the company they work for ending up to pay the fee. But again, those other smaller companies that operate out of their homes within Worthington Hills, now they, you know, being their own self-employed type of groups, would have to, you know, it's just part of a business expense. But and that's not unusual. It goes on everywhere in the United States. So I thought I'd just bring this up just to add some additional revenue to our budgets and not have to deal with fighting increasing property tax, because not everybody is going to be affected by this. So that's the reason why this was brought up.
Does that make sense? Interject something here. Number one, it can apply to employees.
It cannot
apply to employees. And second, if they're working for an insurance company or for any large company, number one, you've got to find out if this is going on. Then you have to find out the company that they're working for. And there's no way in the world you're going to be able to. These out-of-state companies that have got thousands of people working at home, they're not going to comply with this. They're just not going to.
Yes, they will.
Harold, will your company pay a fee?
So,
where's your company located?
Well,
they're
the home office is in Quebec, Canada.
Yeah.
St. George, Canada. But we're incorporated in Dallas.
Okay.
So
he's an employee, he works from home. What do you think?
You formed your own company.
No, we're talking about my day job.
My real job.
Monday through Friday job.
Your company doesn't count, correct?
No, I'm saying people like
no, they use the company address.
No. Yeah.
Hold it. I can tell you right now, Dennis, didn't the company say that business taxes can be business license tax can be collected for corporations that have people working at home?
I'm not saying that you can't try to do it. I'm saying, what do you think the chances are his company's going to send us?
Well, what they do is
and then what are you gonna do?
We hire these people, okay, and they actually do all the investigation, and they get a fee for 2 years, and then once we know what those people are, who those people are, that continues to go on.
You're going to pay them out of the city money?
No, the money that we receive.
You're not going to receive it.
How much do you want to, is this a yearly fee?
For the business license?
Yeah.
So
what do you propose to charge?
It's basically the same as Meadowvale, which is $200 per year.
I don't see anybody makes more than that.
You would not believe how many people are working from home.
I just think it's,
I think there's going to be a lot more people working from home.
So let me make sure I understand it. You're proposing that we hire a company to ferret out the people in the city of Working Hills that are working from home. Is that correct?
Not initially. They are. That's part of what they do. Once we put this in and try it for a year, then what they do is, if you take them on for the first 2 years, they get 50% of whatever amount of money they find. It's money that we aren't getting anyhow.
Can you give me a
yes
contact?
Yes.
I just don't think it's.
So what's the definition of
city? Mount Washington's doing it. Mount Washington has them contracted. Yes.
What's the definition of working from home, though? Is that someone that's physically at their home at their desk?
They don't.
In my case, 4 days a week, I would be somewhere else.
It doesn't matter if you do any kind of work at all. It's basically, it's whatever we put it up. But I would have to say yes, because you're getting, if they're paying you a fee, a salary, and it's coming from your W-2, has your address, your home address, that's what they're working off of.
Let me offer this.
It's public knowledge. They can get this stuff. I can find it too.
They don't have a duty to tell you who's working for them.
Yes, they do.
It's an invasion of privacy.
They don't have to tell you. They can find it out without having to tell you. Then they approach the people. We don't even have to approach the people.
There's not a company out there that's...
I'll give you the contact.
Give me the contact. I think it's much to do about nothing. And I don't get a vote. I'm just telling you from a legal standpoint. If I'm ABC company, Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance, or any company that is work, people have been working at home for 20 years, 30 years since they have been at the computer.
All I'm going to do is I'm bringing it up. Like I said, I'm not looking for this stuff right away. I'm bringing up this fact because there's nothing I'm going to leave on, you know, out the door when we got an opportunity to collect some money, because we have people working at home.
I know that. I don't see how anyway that somebody could find out.
I didn't either until they started talking about
they're,
it.
They're trying to sell you. They're
they only get it for 2 years.
They're selling and you're buying. I don't think that. I just don't see how they're making.
There, you use their service for 2 years, or the whatever they collect, they only collect for 2 years, and they have to constantly be looking for your people.
Somebody here wants to talk.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Oh, okay. You probably within the city have people selling Avon, selling Mary Kay, possibly Pampers Chef. These are people who basically using this. You've heard that a lot of people are like $300 a month away from bankruptcy. If they just had the 300 more, that they would not have to file bankruptcy. These are people who are using this, the money that they're making, to basically help pay for their family. Are you going after these people?
For, and I don't know if Mary Kay, people like that, there's two different ways of going. Either you're a franchisee or you're a dealer. And you get in, and it's a very complicated thing. You have to drill down into Mary Kay. I could get into that, Mary Kay dealership or franchise. But what you have to do, and I don't know if, and I believe that it's required, that if you sign on with Mary Kay or any of these other things, you have to, always, you have to form your own company. So, and Mary Kay's not going to disclose who these people are. And if you send out, you know, something on the webpage saying if you are one of these people, you need to report it. I don't see how you, if someone doesn't report it, number one, you're not going to know who you are. Two, you, if you find out if Ben says, yeah, I buy, you know, Mary Kay from Steve, and she says that, there's no, I don't think you get into a sticky wicket there, but. You know, Bob and Dennis, I believe everything they're saying. But I'd like to know right now what the name of the company is. I can get on my phone right now and see if they're filed as a registered, as a foreign corporation in the state of Kentucky.
Yeah, they are.
Did you check that?
Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, from a legal standpoint, I think it's a nightmare.
Well, they will send, I've already informed them if we get involved in this, or even think about it, that we'll have, if we ever get out of this COVID-19 situation, I can have them at the meeting. They already said that they will come to the meeting and explain it.
You say Meadowvale,
Dustin?
No, Mount Washington.
Oh, so you said Meadowvale.
Well, Meadowvale has a $200 business fee. That's what the, if you look at that business license ordinance that I put out, that's Meadowvale's, and you pay it every year. It's cost of doing business. And in fact, if anybody wants to carry a check, people that are, live in Oldham County or Henry County, and they come and they own their business out there and come into Louisville, the occupational tax people, the revenue commission is looking for them.
It is. If you make income in Jefferson County,
yeah,
the revenue commission is, if someone sees a sign, they're after them.
Right.
And they're aggressive people.
Right. This is the same thing, except it's not on payroll. It's on the fact that it's a company license to operate, whether it's one person, two persons, you know, in the city, whether it's home-based or it's a corporation.
There's
that has somebody here.
That, those are the tax.
Huh?
Revenue commission is a tax. It's not a fee.
Yeah, the tax. But
so
they're still tracking them down.
Paying a tax, and you want to hit them with a license fee. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
All I'm saying is we can get the people that do the business here to explain it. Okay. And we are getting the revenue now, so it's not costing the city.
We don't need
the
revenue, though.
For all the hassle.
Huh?
For all the hassle.
that's what I was getting ready to say. You talk about the man hours involved, and you know, I'll do it if you want from a legal standpoint, but the enforcement, the application, the processing, all that stuff, Linda's going to need us, you know, or Beverly's going to be overwhelmed.
I don't think so. Yeah, Beverly.
You own a business, right?
Yeah, but I'm in Crestwood.
Do you do any work out of your home for that business?
I answer a phone, but I don't do any business.
You answer the phone, that's business.
That's business? That's business. Would you be paying your business?
Yeah, I'll pay it. It's not a big deal.
I'm good.
If I got to pay it, I got to pay it. It's cost doing business.
I just don't think one is going to find out where all these people are.
I don't think I'd pay it. I would pay it.
I wouldn't pay it either. What can you do?
How do you enforce it?
It will sow more ill will.
It will.
Yeah.
Well, let me get the company to come here and talk about it.
I mean, it makes sense. It's a daycare inside our jurisdiction.
Yes. That business office building too is in our jurisdiction.
That makes sense. If somebody's legitimately running a business out of their home, that makes sense. But to seek out Mirage Hardwood Flooring because I'm in my office one day a week, that seems like overreach.
I don't think you can do it.
Well, like I said, I'm not the expert on it.
Yeah.
It's just that we sat in a 2-hour meeting, and there was 3 cities that were at this meeting. They've got more cities than that in Kentucky. And in fact, they're working on Jefferson County right now, okay? Trying to get involved with them. Because there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, right now, I contacted Dorn in the last week, because I had brought this up. I've been in contact with Mayor Fisher's office down there on COVID-19 issues, and part of it was the zoning issues that we have out here, because we don't have zoning. We don't have zoning power, but we have the right, because we pay the taxes, to have zoning take care of our zoning issues. We have businesses, and I'm not going to mention who it is, that have multiple friggin' vehicles sitting in their driveway every night that is not listed on their revenue commission, but yet they're listed with the city or with the Secretary of State.
What do you mean they're not with the local revenue commission?
Yeah, they're not listed with Jefferson County's revenue. I brought that up to them. Plus, I brought up the fact that they are running the business out of the home. And the zoning enforcement guy said that there's not a problem running them out as long as they've got the proper forms. I told him what the address was. He says, well, there's no form for it. And I says, well, I'm just telling you, there's 5 vehicles sitting in the driveway every night.
Is it rental property?
Nope.
Well, then I can check Secretary of State. You
can. I can check it too. I checked it. This company is actually listed with the Secretary of State with the address.
What's the name of the company?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, because I want you can drill down and you can put in not only the name of the company, you can put in officers and directors.
Oh, yeah, I know. So it's not our business. It's zoning guys.
What the business is when you file articles.
Yes, I know. I've already got a copy of it. I got a copy of it. You want to see a copy of it? I'll give a copy of it. But I'm not gonna bring this up on the audio file. I'm recording this. This is stuff that I talked with. I'm not getting involved in zoning issues.
No, we don't have the authority to zone.
Right. But there's somebody that I have talked to the zoning enforcement officer on this issue. Between that and having too many people living in the house, because that's where the people are staying. Yeah, here it is.
The ones that just recently moved in.
No.
Can I see that?
Yeah.
I won't mention that. Don't you have the annual report?
That's it. Well, that's the main page. It's the annual report's on the page.
But you can highlight that and print it.
I know I can't. I didn't need to. I wanted to show you that the Secretary of State
is
listed with the Secretary of State.
This is what puts in.
Right.
When you file,
I know. I know.
Over 20 years, things can change. Owners, addresses, and all of that.
I know. I know that. All I'm saying is I've just pulled that off the Secretary of State's.
Right.
Okay? So we do have businesses running out of Worthington Hills.
You know, and I'll check the business address on the last annual report. But
they have an annual report. I checked it.
What did it show as business address?
The one that's on there?
All right, I'm going to check. Let's see.
Okay. You got any more questions, Carol, Linda? This is just a preliminary talk session.
This company needs to come in. Can you send the name of this company? Because I'm
just concerned about small at this time when so many small businesses are hurting. The ill will that it will create
right.
among our residents.
A lot of these companies are going out of business.
I cannot even imagine that we're talking about it at this time.
Well, it's been talked about years and years and years, and I just brought it up because we have a company that can help out. We have, as far as I can remember, I think we've got 28 businesses up in that business building.
Now there, I agree.
And we also have the daycare center, and we also have the daycare center that's working out of a home, a couple of them.
Well, that was the thing that I asked about. If they apply for a business license, are we also responsible for making certain that they have all the appropriate certifications and licenses and those?
They wouldn't be operating if they didn't have a license.
Well, say for instance, somebody decides to open up a catering company out of their home. They get a business license. They also have to have something from the Board of Health, don't they?
They would, and all we would have to do, and I called in another company about that, because we have a catering company in Worthington Hills that I notified the health department on, and they were out here last week also.
They should be able to require to talk to this meeting. They should bring.
So we can utilize Jefferson County departments. It's not that we have to do all, you know, have to have enforcement on everything. If we find somebody that's operating a catering service, in fact, if we do, without even having this business license, we should be notifying the health departments and every other enforcement agency in Jefferson County. We don't need to sit around and wait for us to have ordinances. Jefferson County already has ordinances. That's why we're using Derby City Protection doing such a fine job finding issues and taking care of business out in Worthington Hills, because we're utilizing all the resources of Jefferson County.
How much they charge you?
Who?
Jefferson County.
Nothing. We pay taxes for that stuff.
Well, why would we want to pay a company to do it then?
No, the company is to locate them. And we're not getting the money now anyhow, Linda.
I'm just asking.
Well, I'm just saying. What's our investment right now? What are we receiving right now? Zero. If we was to do a business license at $200, okay, and they find a group of 100, or let's just say 20 or 30 businesses, okay, that are operating within the city of Worthington Hills, and we're charging $200. Let's just make it 25. All right, we get $2,500, and they get $2,500 for 2 years. After that, then we have the full $5,000. Have we lost anything? Has the city paid anything? No.
It's put a lot of stress on the people who work for the city.
cost of doing business, Steve. It's just, this is a fact of life. They collect it. And then after we take over.
How are they collecting?
They collect it. If they don't collect it, we don't pay them. If they find the cities, this is the other thing. They only get paid if they actually get the fees.
That's what I'm talking about.
What?
Let's say after 2 years, how are we going to collect it?
We have the list.
How do we collect it? You're going to go knock on the door?
We send in the bill.
Yeah, but if they don't pay, we get after this whole damn thing, they're not going to enforce it downtown, and we have to use the stupid code enforcement board that has never worked.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to be able to collect money.
You guys are all so negative. You don't look at everything from
a... For 40 years, I'm one of 8 kids. I've worked my ass off since I was 10 years old. I've provided for myself since I went out. So I'm always looking at risk, reward. I'm also looking for cause and effect. I'm looking at, you know, I'm very efficient at what I do. I practice the law, I'm working the yard, when I'm digging a ditch, I'm good at it. But I don't, this is similar to this thing with the immigrants and all this other stuff. I mean, you're talking, if you can give me the name of that company, I'm going to drill down and down.
Whoever says on the phone about bad
karma,
I think is it. So we get $5,000. You got everybody frustrated with you and mad at you. I can't tell you the number of times I got to. Okay, you got to pay Shelbyville $25 because you got to pay. Business owners hate it.
I'm not gonna do it. I hate it.
So why would we want to enforce something that we know everybody?
I'm just bringing it up.
I know I don't have a vote in the game, but I think it's stupid.
I understand, but
I don't get it.
All right.
We can't get people
I'll get
property taxes.
Especially like Linda said in Carol. Right. You know, you have businesses literally going out of business, and now you want to hammer them with a $200. I mean, a lot of these businesses.
Well, the businesses are going out of business because of liberal politicians in this state. I'm telling you right now, when you look at the amount of the COVID-19 cases, there is not that many. There is not that many compared to the. Not. How many people live in Kentucky? How many people? How many? What's the population? What is the population?
Not 5 billion people on the face.
Wow. How many? What's the population? I didn't want to do this, but now you've got me mad. What is it? 346,000. Can we figure that out the other day?
What's that?
The population of Kentucky.
Kentucky's about 6.5 million.
6.5 million. Okay. And how many active COVID cases we got? 3,250. 1,500 of them have already recovered. We've only had 150 deaths. They're locking down our economy and killing the people who are actually healthy.
Yeah, killing the people that attend these services are these far right radicals.
Hey, hey, I told you about your language.
All right,
we'll move along. I don't want to go on this anymore. We'll deal with it later.
It's a complicated issue.
Yeah.
People are dying because they're getting involved.
Well, now we go to the people who have not complied with the rental property and the vacant house registrations. Are you prepared to send them?
Yeah, you tell me who they are. And I'll
okay, okay. That's all I wanted, and that was it. We're compiling that list right now. Okay.
I got an email from someone that said that the 5 letters on the renters were sent out, 3 complied, 2 the letters came back for 2 of them. So
right. Well, I found a couple of the renters' addresses over the weekend for their landlords.
Yeah, I may. Well, I do believe I look for the application form for renters, and we need to amend that because I think what we need to do is to put in there that you are verifying that the people who are presently rented and the people who rent to in the future are only a single family. It would be a mom and a dad, or it would be mom, single mom, or single dad taking care of their children. I think that needs to go in. But if you get into enforcement.
Enforcement comes down to zoning. I have the name of the person down at the zoning enforcement.
I'm with you though on that.
Right.
And of course, the metro has their own limits.
Right, right. You're right. And on our application.
We're not going to enforce our medical limits, we're going to enforce the data.
That's right. And we are able to provide them with information on those who claim they have not.
So, here, of course, for some reason, the people who have filed registrations for renters with the city, they're not making that public knowledge. And I think it's a public record. But they're not telling us who those people are.
No, that's the reason why we started our own registration.
But if you send them names, they can check to see if...
I'm sending them addresses. And we're going to send them addresses or the property and the landlords. It's a give and take, okay?
Now, I'll tell you this, too. There's a thing called waiver in law. If you have a law, you have an ordinance, or if you have a deed of restrictions that is not enforced, it's like a fence ordinance or anything like that.
We're not enforcing our ordinances. We're not enforcing our deeds. We're enforcing Jefferson County's. That is what Derby City's doing out here. We're not enforcing anything.
They can't enforce a city ordinance, not the government ordinance.
Yes, they can.
What I'm driving at is a single family requirement in the deed of restrictions. We've never enforced that. I checked today. The deed of restrictions was recorded in 1974. And when Fincastle developed this area. And we weren't a city until 1981. The point I'm making is that no one's ever enforced this single family residence deed of restriction requirement. It's waiver. And I said to you, we can tell people that you have to do this, but if someone came in with that case, I said, you waived it. You've never enforced this before.
We're not enforcing it. I'm going to say it one more time. We're reporting it to Jefferson County zoning. They have zoning requirements that they enforce.
Yeah, but there's not a requirement.
Yes, you in their ordinance 156, they have the amount of adults and the amount of floor space that's allowed in a single family home.
Per certain criteria.
Right.
I would like to know the last time that they tried to enforce a charge someone that owns a house that's renting it out to mixed family.
It doesn't matter. They have an ordinance. I don't care if they've enforced it or not. I'm bringing it to their attention. Whether they enforce it or not, we're doing our due diligence, period. If there's a problem with that, you know, you've got a problem with working. I mean, you have really got a problem with you got a problem with helping us enforce what we have. See, Jefferson County... I don't want to argue no more.
You don't think I've been an advocate for the city all these years and presently, and I've always stood up for the city and I've always done what was required of me. And if you think that I'm negligent in my duties, then you are dead.
What did I just say about your language? That's two.
You're dead wrong. And I'd like to know who it doesn't matter.
We're getting Jefferson County to enforce their codes here in Worthington Hills.
That's good, but we can't.
Okay.
Okay. You can report to them and they can enforce.
Right. We don't have a code enforcement board, so, you know, we're paying county taxes. So we have the right to ask Jefferson County to do their job. Okay? They have the right to enforce their ordinances within the city of Worthington Hills. All right. New business.
Can I ask a question, please?
Sure.
It says, need legal notice letter with March 16th to April 15th signed. So if we give a list to Steve, he's going to send a letter and says, this is how much you were fined from March 16th to April 15th. Is that why that's noted there? Why are those dates there?
What are you saying, Steve?
Well, I can't get out. I can't see this. The print is so small. I want to drill down to see what the end report is and what they list as a business address. If they list the business address as being within the city of...
And it's right here.
That is when the company was formed by...
No, it isn't. That is their current office.
No. That is what was put in when they formed the company.
No, because I went down here and they moved the city. They moved their company address. This is their current address right here. Okay?
I'll look. And what's the name of this company that's going to do all this stuff for us?
What? I don't know right off the top of my head. I'll give you that tomorrow.
Bev had a question.
All right, Bev. Bev had a question.
Why does this mention the dates from March 16th to April 15th for fines? Is that going to be how Steve... Is he going to put those amounts into the letters that he sends out? Why are those dates on there?
Because the last letter you sent out gave them to March 16th.
Okay.
To register their properties.
To comply.
To comply.
Okay, so what is... I sent another letter, but if they don't do it, what do we do? They're not... If we take a warrant downtown, they're not going to take the warrant. And for us to enforce it, we're going to have to use the code enforcement board. There's no other way to do it.
This says need legal notice letter. Were you expecting Steve to send out another letter saying, hey, you didn't comply. So far now you've racked up this much in fines.
Yeah.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah.
I've learned that you don't... I mean, you know, I'll do it, but we have no recourse. Just give me those addresses and I'll send a letter.
Is that a high percentage? It's not, right? It's just a few.
Like 20.
There's that many.
Well, yeah.
And there's no fee associated with that, right?
There's no fee on Jefferson County rules or ours. You just basically...
It's just notification.
Just notification. Are we done with that? Okay. No.
I did release, there were some liens against the state, and I sent everybody a copy of that.
Right.
When that's recorded, they'll send it back, and then they'll send an invoice to 46. They changed every file into the $46 across the state. Recorded one page lien, recorded in $46. It used to be 13.
I want to keep this going.
All right. So, yeah, all right. So, for the record, just put in, Beverly, first reading of the business license fee to charge $200.
Nah, don't. This is just a discussion. Okay. I don't want to do it.
All right.
I'm sorry. Just discussion, period. I'm just bringing up, you know, we're not in a big hurry.
And I'm not trying to make trouble. I'm just telling you from an objective guy that, you know, I just see.
I'll let you talk to the people that talk to us. All right? And they will. Try to get them in here as soon as we can have bodies back.
All right, if you send me the information to that company, and I'll send a report.
All right, new business. Carol, the signage project.
I'm here. Because we did not have to spend very much money on snow removal, and we do have an issue yet with people parking on the court, especially at Middlesex. Bob came to me and we decided we really need to add more no parking on any kind of sign. There will be a sign attached to each no outlet sign as it goes into each of the courts. And plus we're adding a no outlet sign to our one. Yeah. I went ahead and suggested, in fact, I sent it to everybody, so I'm not going over the signs that we need, the placements, and Andrew Friedrich from Safety Code got back with me. The total of the installation, signs, and everything comes to $2,935.50. And of that, $1,600 of that is installation. So,
how many signs?
But they charge before. I feel it's a fair price.
Yeah. I do too, Carol. That was for 27 signs, if I remember right, right?
28.
Okay.
One plus another, so really for 29 signs.
Okay.
There was 22 some of the small signs with one.
And what are the signs that say exactly?
No parking on the street anytime. We have four of those now. One right there has become onto Williamsburg for Northumberland, one by Rustburg, and I'm not sure where else, but we're adding. Basically, they will all be attached to poles along with other ones that we have, like the speed bump signs. We are putting four new ones, though, on Middlesex, because Middlesex is so narrow. There is a huge problem. I talked to two residents down there when I was out there looking, and they said, oh, please, just help us out here. That it's really bad. So, we're basically, like I said, there will be attached to other signs, and we're only putting in one brand new one. I mean, like one new pole.
Yeah, but we got to, there's some of the poles that we've got to increase the size so we can put, attach additional sign to it. So that's the other thing. We've got some poles, she got some poles included in that bid. That's a really good price because back when I was a commissioner, we did some signage a couple of years ago, put in some street signs that needed to be replaced, stop signs that needed to be replaced. Different things that just got, over time, they just got worn out. And we, at that time, maybe a few more signs, but we paid like $3,900. So when he came back with that price, these are standard signs. That's another thing. If it's a standard sign, it's less costly than having a custom sign. So these are standard signs that are being put in.
And I was concerned when you hear the number of signs we're putting in, and I just didn't want there to be like signs everywhere, but we're keeping them attached to poles for the most part that we already have. And like you said, like one of the, I know two of the speed bump signs, we'll have to put a taller pole, but it'll be the same spot. The sign was there before. We're just adding a no parking anytime sign to it.
Yeah, and Ardwine Court does not have a no outlet sign, so that's the one that's
right.
Being added, and it's going to have the no outlet sign and the no parking sign on that same pole, just like the rest of the cul-de-sacs are going to be. So is there any questions at all? All right, do I hear a motion to proceed with the signage project that Carol's presented?
I'll make a motion to proceed.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. It's unanimous. All right. Property maintenance.
I'm already talking because I have one more new item. I noticed.
Okay.
I noticed that the flag down the flagpole is getting faded. It's not shattered, but it's just faded. It looks old. Is there any way we can get a new flag?
Oh yeah, we can order a new flag if that's what, you know, I'll go down and look at it, and you know, if there any objection to getting a new flag, if we need a new flag. Because I just got a magazine that's...
Would your Boy Scout troop retire?
The Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, we can check with Kerry. Well, the problem we have right now is this COVID-19. It's so hard to do anything when it comes to a group thing, okay? So, if we have the ability, if they relax some of the restrictions, we can have a retirement of the flag.
We used to take them into our troop, and then we would retire them when we had a ceremony.
Well, if we don't have an actual ceremony, then we can give it to Kerry, and Kerry and them. Kerry has the Girl Scout troops, and they go through doing that. Okay? Yes, sir.
Speaking of the flag, did you raise it back to full staff today?
What? Are they supposed to go back to full staff?
Yeah, last night at sundown, I believe.
Well, I never heard about it. The last time I heard, they were half staff.
And the recommendation on the East Hill Court.
What? Yeah.
And the
told you not to say the name.
I didn't say the name.
He said it.
He told you said the street. So that's all that.
Me. Me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if there's no objection, then I'll just go ahead and get that ordered, and we can.
I'd like to make a motion to retire the flag. How's that?
That's good. Retire the flag and order a new one.
Correct.
Order a new one and then retire the flag. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. And I will take and raise a flag tonight.
Thank you.
I did not hear about it.
When did we go to half staff?
Last week.
That's how much attention I pay when I'm mowing grass. I didn't notice.
The victim.
Yeah.
Yesterday, when I listened to the press meeting, they were still talking about being a half staff. So, service fees.
Wait,
no, property maintenance. Okay, property maintenance.
We'll talk about these.
You're supposed to send those out, but that's go ahead.
Yeah, well, they've got them. That's the same thing.
It's the same thing
that I passed out last time. Yeah. So I don't know if you ladies still have your copies, but basically I want to make sure that everybody knows what my goals were to work on, what have you, and make sure you guys are okay if you had any questions asked. I'm going to run through this list pretty quick. The front entrance, we're going to trim up the trees and remove the rose bushes. There's only two there that are rose bushes that are still doing anything. The other two are completely dead. That's $525. So I'll run down the cost. So you all, if you don't have those with you, you'll know what I'm talking about. The flagpole, we're going to grind out the stump, plant crepe myrtles and daylilies. That's $750. Crepe myrtles, I've got five on there for a cost of $50 apiece, $250. Thirty daylilies at $3 apiece, $90, and some fill dirt for $150. I may not need dirt, so that's just worst case scenario. Green space entrance off of Lunenburg Drive. Remove three evergreens. One's a Bradford pear. The other two are actually it's three evergreens. One Bradford pear. Remove tree debris that fell out. Of a tree, a Lunenburg Court residence tree, and grind out all stumps, plant grass and straw, haul away the disposal of the trees. That's $2,250. In the main green space behind Lunenburg Drive, Rustburg Place, and Queen Anne's over in the holding pond, there's three broken locust trees in the holding pond. So we want to remove all that, the tops that are broken out. Clean all the areas up around those trees. So there's a pile of debris against the neighbor's fence that's been there forever. It's a cherry tree that broke out of their yard. They just left it there. Remove locust tree that has fallen down. There's a big locust tree behind 4405 maybe Lunenburg that fell down in the windstorm that needs to be really cut up and gotten rid of. There's two dead ash trees and stumps in that area. We're removing all saplings and bittersweet at the base of the trees in the green space. Flattening out of areas where the stumps were removed last year from tree care, we're going to seed and straw those and remove cherry tree trunk that is along a fence on Queen Anne's. All debris will be removed from the property and disposed of at the dump. I'll say this. The larger stuff, I'm cutting into rounds. I'm going to split it up. If you know anybody in the city that needs firewood, they're welcome to it. I'm not selling it. They can have it. That total for all of that on that holding pond, all those trees, what, they get $3,750. Boyington Court, $787.50 to remove the dead rose bushes And that's a lot of them on the front side. The ones on the back side remarkably seem to be doing okay. So we may not do anything with those. Edge the rock beds against the sidewalk. I don't know if you noticed, but the rocks slide all over that sidewalk. I'm having to push them all back up into the bed. So we want to put some edging there to keep the rocks in the bed. Plant crepe myrtles and daylilies where the rose bushes are coming out. That would basically be on both sides of the lamppost. And then we'll put daylilies up between the hollies and the sidewalk where right now there's rose bushes. Crepe myrtles, again, $5 for $50 a piece, $250. $90 for 30 daylilies. And then, again, some field dirt. And, again, these are worst-case scenario. I don't think we'll need the dirt up there. Island at Bayon's Court. We want to remove the evergreen, install edging, add dirt, plant crepe myrtle and daylilies, and it says on here about landscape fabric, all that's included. But $1,500, and then again, one crepe myrtle for $50. I got 30 daylilies at $90, and that one will definitely need fill dirt. It's below the curb, so there'll have to be some dirt put in there. I estimated 150. Our wine court. We want to, I put remove bush, R1 court. There's no bush on R1 court. Sorry about that. Install edging and add dirt, plant a crepe myrtle and daylilies. We'd like just to basically keep, I have to mow that, which is not a problem, but it's just a great big lump of grass in the middle of that aisle. So it'd be nice if it had some plants there. That's $1,350 for R1. Crepe myrtle one, again, 30 daylilies basically and some fill dirt. So anyway, I wanted to discuss all that with the group. It's kind of unusual that, you know, circumstances. So I wanted you all to know what we were proposing. And I clearly, the total for all of this, guys, is $12,472.50. And that's if we need all the fill dirt. Okay, that's it, basically everything that's on this list. I can't do it all and stay within budget before July. So some of it will have to happen prior to July to stay within the budget, and then the balance of it I'll do on the other side of July, August time frame, after we get into the new year. Any questions about any of that?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
How tall are the crates?
Well, they can get real tall. They can get 20, 30 feet tall.
I don't know that, but when you plant them, how tall are they?
There's two kinds. There's a bush, and there's kind of a tree-type variety. I was going to put the tree-type variety in.
And how tall are those when you buy them?
Probably 3 or 4 feet tall. I mean, you probably buy them 7, 8 feet tall. You'll pay for them.
In the fall, you can take those runners and plant those runners, and there's a way to do that. So
off a crepe myrtle?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, and I'm not suggesting you do that. You might want to drill down on that.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, you soak them in water with some of that green rose stuff, and then you plant them, and you can...
Well, I've got the same thing going on the hillside behind my house. I planted lilac bushes, and they do the same thing. Off the root systems, they're starting to get shoots, so I'm just cutting the roots out and planting them elsewhere.
You can get online and see how you transplant a runner from a...
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that crepe myrtles did that, though. The good thing about crepe myrtles is, and I learned this, honestly, about 12 weeks ago in North Carolina. I'm going up to these really nice, well-established businesses, and they've got these trees that they cut off 5 feet high. Their stalks are 2.5-3 inches round, right? And it's just sticks, and they're flower beds, and they're crepe myrtles.
Yeah.
And they're all up and down in Charlotte. They're all up and down the interstates and stuff. And so when I asked somebody what they were, they said they're crepe myrtles. They said they will bloom off of those stalks.
Yeah.
So it'll be beautiful and easy to manage the size. Once it gets big, I can just literally cut it right off wherever, how tall we want it, and it'll stay there.
You know what women say to husbands who cut back the crepes? They call it crepe myrtle.
Who said that?
They call it crepe murder.
Who did?
That's what my wife called me. Like one of our crepe murder.
Yeah, but that's why I selected those.
I digress. I'm sorry.
No.
We're in a hurry.
No, no worries. There's two more things that need to be added to this, and I don't have any pricing on these. I just make you aware of what's going on. in Lunenburg Holding Pond, so that's between Jonell and Lunenburg, there's a cherry tree that's got a great big Y in the trunk. The side of the Y that's closest to Jonell's fine. The other side is completely dead, needs to be removed. It's starting to drop limbs and bark, so that'll have to be added to this list. That probably should be a priority, too. It's going to get dangerous. We also need to remove the trees in the Mecklenburg access to the green space. There's three trees there, just dumpster ground out. So the plan is basically, for me, is to get all this tree work done and rent a stump grinder and grind all the stumps out in one day. Just do it all in one day. So, any questions? Carol, Linda?
No.
Anybody have a problem with anybody have a problem with the price? $12,472.50 is the total. But we can. I couldn't understand you. Say that again, please. We couldn't understand you.
How many trees are going to be removed? You said in that price. Because you were doing it in separate sections.
Yeah, so there's four trees on the access to Lunenburg. There's three trees in the access to Mecklenburg. That's not on this right now. There's that cherry tree that will need to be repaired or removed. There's one great big locust tree that's down, two ash trees up between Queen Anne's and Mecklenburg that need to be removed. There's a cherry trunk that's there, just debris. There's a locust tree in the holding pond behind Queen Anne's Lunenburg that came down in the windstorm last year. There was some debate when it came down as to whose problem that was. It's a big locust tree, though. So is it the property owner on Lunenburg, or is it our responsibility? Problem is, it needs to be cleaned up. So that's in there. And then there's two ash trees down there that didn't make it. We left them standing when we took the rest of the trees out because they had leaves on them, and they haven't survived. So that's, and then the other tree work would be, there's three locust trees in that holding pond where the bittersweet's gotten so tall that during windstorms it's broken the tops of the trees out. So they all need to be, we're not going to remove the trees. We're just going to cut all the bittersweet back and then remove the tops that are broken off and clean all that up.
Who's scraping something? Hey. Wherever you're scooting, please stop.
I'm not doing anything. I'm sorry.
All right.
Does that answer your question, Carol?
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. So,
what about the landscaping, Mike, for the lights up in the median off Westport Road?
The median.
Our sign lights.
Oh, so yeah. So here's where I'm at. I had a guy named Churchman that I've been trying to get a bid from. He came out. I gave him detailed directions and photographs and everything on what we want to do on the lights at the front entrance and the two dilapidated irrigation system posts, if you want to call them that. And guy started out really nice, got back to me, was checking prices for stuff, and then he's gone dead silent. I mean, he called me back about 4 weeks ago and said, hey, I was out of town for a while. I want to make sure that you're still eligible. I said, yes, please get me. This was right before the last meet. And I said, please get me a cost on those things, and I'll go over with the commission. And he agreed to do it, and nothing. I've sent him emails since then. I got nothing. So that's something else I wanted to ask was, if there's somebody we've dealt with in the past, I'd like to get their contact information.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, this guy came recommended. And I mean, I've texted him, I've emailed him, I'm getting nothing now. So I don't know that I'd want to do business with him if that's who he is.
Okay.
But so, just so everybody knows, Carol, Lynn, everybody, That will be my priority, is to get that stuff cleaned up. If I get an electrical bid that we all can all agree on, then I want to get those done, and then that'll determine how much of that stuff that's on this list I'll actually do before July 1st. I mean, because I want to stay within that budget.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Linda, you got any questions?
No.
Okay.
Do we want to vote on that?
I'll make a motion that we proceed with your plan of action for the property maintenance, okay, landscaping, and cleanup.
Okay.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? All right.
And then I will include, I'll work a pricing on that chair. I'm actually not, that thing's way too big to take down, so I'll get a crew to come in and do that. I'll get a bid for that, though, and let y'all know what's going on.
Okay.
Have you noticed it when you drive by? It's the one furthest from Lunenburg Court. One whole side of it's dead. I think it got struck by lightning.
Oh, you talking about that first one?
First one is a hedge apple. Right behind it is a. They both sit on the same hill. Right behind it's a cherry tree.
Oh, okay.
Well, and the side that's closest to Lunenburg is dead. It's okay. A big tree.
Okay. All right. Moving along here. What are we on to the next? Okay. Commercial open records.
When
what?
When do I get to talk about the light?
Well, we.
Commission reports 12.
Let me do this open records request, and then we can go there.
Excuse me.
Let me do this. I got two more things, and then I'll let you bring up the light thing.
Okay.
Okay. Commercial open records request contracts. We kept getting a lot of property tax requests after we had put out the tax bills, and through basically checking on things, we came across a possible company that was requesting information that we couldn't trace down through phone numbers. I sent that out to you in an email yesterday. The address that they had on the fax didn't match. The phone numbers didn't match. The email address, the at whatever wasn't what was they were showing as the company. So back in November, in September, started looking for these contracts, because from class we were told that we could charge for providing information to commercial entities. So we got the form from St. Matthews, changed out the names, and started testing the waters with $1 per property. And they have paid it. And as I showed you in the email, also with the material, Wells Fargo requests to know that information when they, send their request for the property tax information. They'll know that there's going to be a fee for it. So what I'm bringing up tonight is do we want to stick with the $1, or do we want to up it a little bit?
There was a municipal order for the $1.
I did it. We if you look at our old open records request, they had $10 on there. So they had been doing it in the past. These are commercial. This is not.
It's just curious to know if there was a municipal order at $1.
No.
Okay.
But we probably need to have one.
Okay.
That's why I'm wanting to get this amount so we can do the municipal
order. Just let me know what that is, and I'll prepare it the next week.
Okay. All right. Does anybody think we ought to raise it to like $2 or $3?
I think it should be higher than that.
What's the going rate? No, nobody knows.
Well, they get charged. I don't know what the other people are charging, but I do know that, and I don't know how long it takes Dan, but I know last year when I did the list for this one company. He had 92 properties on it, and it took me 3 hours. Because I just went ahead. It was an Excel spreadsheet, and I just went in and basically cut and paste or copied and paste the prices.
So what's 3 hours of your time worth?
Well, it's not just the time. It's the fact that the time is one thing, but we are having people ask for these things consistently during regular non-tax season.
I understand.
I mean, I don't do it all the time. I don't do it all, but I mean, it's a matter of public record, too. All they
got to
do is...
No, well, they are public record, but...
I mean, the tax ordinance is a matter of public record.
The tax ordinance is, yeah. And some of them, like, I believe CoreLogic last year, they just went and looked at our tax ordinance and figured it up on the spreadsheet, because that's how I ended up doing a lot of it, is just building the formulas to get it to automatically run down. But I still had to go through and check to make sure it matched up with on our tax bill. But does anybody got any suggestions?
What is considered fair? What are other cities starting?
I have no idea. I didn't ask them. I just wanted the form. I didn't really care what other cities are doing. We just need to do whatever we need to do for our city. I mean, it's our time. It's in, and we have the the statute right to do it. Nobody ever did it in the past. They just, and nobody checked. The big thing, the main problem is. And what got me thinking was all this title theft, property title theft that's going on. You know, with all this technology, it's not difficult to find stuff and basically do a quick sale on just paying taxes on a piece of property. But like with our city, they have to, you know, they can find the stuff on the county because the county lists it. But we don't have our delinquent taxes listed on the internet, so they have to come through us to make sure that they don't have a, you know, that they have paid or haven't paid the taxes.
You all can contemplate the next time.
What about raising it to at least $3? What do you think? What do the rest of you think?
I was thinking that too. I was thinking between $2.50 and $3. Because I thought that was very fair. In the communications I've had with the people that we've been sending the notices to, I basically made sure it said our current rate. So, again, it was just to see. And we have gotten, I sent you the amount. I think it was, as of yesterday, we had received so far since November $47. But that was just these 2 and 3, 4, you know, requests. And not only that, we need to discuss on this form, it requires it to also be notarized. And that is one of the issues that is coming to light. Some of these things are coming back not being notarized, but they're making the payment. So I wanted to bring that up also. Whoever's scratching, would you please stop?
Somebody
moving
papers around?
No, I am not.
I am just sitting here quietly.
All right. It's just, we're getting scratching on this end. So, well, I'll make a motion to move the fee up to $3 and also require the form to be notarized. Do I have a second?
A second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Let me say this. My wife's going to, like, where are you? I'm going to look at Sector KRS 39 about this disaster preparedness plan. And I'll report on that's the next item.
Yeah, we're just working on it.
Okay. I'll look at it. I got to run. I'm sorry for swearing, guys. I just don't know why I do it. Thanks, guys.
All right. The tax mailing. So I can let Louisville Mail know. Do we want to continue using Louisville Mail for our tax mailing this year?
Are there other options?
They're across the street. We've been using them. They give us a good price.
I'm with you.
We can go chase around town and cost us more to chase around town than just going across the street.
So the question is, does anybody have a problem with Louisville Mail?
No. Last year, they mailed them on the first line. Louisville Mail, it's right across the street, and we get a discount.
That is the question. The question is, does anybody object to using Louisville Mail for taxes this year?
That's the question you just asked. Right?
No.
So if you need to make a motion on that?
I'll
make a motion to use Louisville Mail.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyhow, all right, move on. Okay, Linda?
Yes?
All right, you're on.
You all probably saw my email that I sent out last week after doing the light check. All the street lights have been installed, and like I said earlier, I believe they are probably working tonight. What I did notice was on Eastville Court, we only were able to get one installed, mainly because we couldn't get the okay, and the same thing happened on the road. But anyway, I talked to Bob, and he was in agreement with me that he needed an additional street light on Eastville. I have no reason to think that the same problem won't happen on the road, so we have one right in the middle of the street, and then absolutely thick darkness at the other end of the cul-de-sac. So, I contacted the LGE, and today I met with the new outdoor lighting gentleman, and also a gentleman from Austin, Missouri, and they were able to look on the opposite side of the street and actually come up with a location where we can put in another light on the ray and another light on the hill. Now, it cost us to put in six street lights. It cost us $453.98. It's not going to cost that to put in two. They did tell me that they will need the four under three driveways. What they can do is slide some cables that's already in the ground, but they will have to bore under three driveways. And there is a $93 cost for each four. So that's what we're looking at, what? About $279 there. So Mr. Nall is going to get all the figures together and send them to me, and then I will send those to Bob. Now, I think you all know how long it took to get the project going. I guess you'll be glad to know that LGE will be contacting the property owners in time. You won't have to.
Right.
We're good.
When I get these figures, I will send them to Bob. But I kind of was hoping that maybe.
What's that noise?
Did we have to call a special meeting in order to get everybody's approval to get these two additional
put in? No, if we just go ahead, if you, $93 times three, $300 minus 21. I mean, it's $280 something. Basically, that's not a big deal. The safety issue is the big deal, and I, like I said, when I looked at Heathville, I was really disturbed when I seen how dark it was on the other side of that light.
Oh, I know.
And I know it's going to happen down there on Moray also. So we need to go ahead and get those lights in. And I think anybody who's on Moray, they need to take a drive over to Heathville after dark and look how bad it is, because you can't. I mean, it's a safety issue, period.
Yeah, I was shocked. I had no idea that it was
Oh yeah, it's bad. It's
that bad.
Oh yeah, it's like anything could go on the other side of that light. You can't see anything down there. While the lights
well,
on.
Well, like I said, I have no reason to think that it's going to be any different on the break.
You're right. Right. So I'll make the motion to go ahead and proceed if it's, you know, if that money is for a safety issue. I'll make the motion that we go ahead and proceed. If the quote comes back at $93 for the boring per driveway, and I don't have a problem with it.
Well,
if
now there will be the installation, which will be like another $100.
Well, if it's not $1,000, we can deal with it. You know.
Okay. Oh, it won't be anywhere near
that. Right. So I'll make a motion that if the quote comes back under $1,000 for the additional two lights, that we go ahead and proceed with the light. Okay.
So are they going under the street, Linda?
No.
Are they they're coming from the other side, is what you're saying?
They're going to over there on the way, they're going to come on the opposite side of the street.
They're going to source the electric from like 12005 or 12 from behind there. They're not going under the street from the lamppost they've already got.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
Does that answer your question then?
Yeah.
All right. I'll make a motion if it costs $1,000, we go ahead and proceed with putting the two extra lights, one on Heathville in the cul-de-sac and one on Ray. Down in the cul-de-sac area.
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Y'all stuck at home, keep looking. I'm going to send you some more information on that disaster exercise. I know we got call 119, but like to have in some of these movies, you know, you don't stop with one catastrophe, you keep going. I mean, we had the tornado right before COVID-19 down in, was it Nashville? Come through and hit them. So they're really hurting down there between the tornado and the COVID-19 lockdown. All right. Anything else out of new business before I move along to the commission report? Okay. Commissioner's report. Let's start with Commissioner Metcalf. Safety.
Drove the city on multiple occasions. Went to the post office with Mayor Stoneham each Friday. Went to address 4504 Lindenburg Drive with Mayor Stoneham to talk to the resident about trash piling up next to the garage, and the resident would not answer the door. And Derby City Protection Activity Report from March 18th to April 18th. Parking citations 41, theft deterrent 2, resident complaints 3, traffic stops 26, suspicious vehicles 3, code and regulation cases 6. And that's all.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner McCaff. Commissioner Hall, you want to be next?
Sure. All right, rental registrations continue to come in. On March 28th, mowing and general cleanup was conducted. Bed cleanup at Boyington, the flagpole. April 4th, mowing and general cleanup. Chain the picnic tables to the tree for the governor to keep people from congregating. Remove the graffiti from the tree and the trees in the green space. That's gone now. April 11th, mowing and general cleanup was conducted. Started tree and stick cleanup in the large green space. April 18th, mowing and general cleanup, and continued bed cleanup. April 18th, Tammy Sanders emailed me about a home needing to cut the grass on Bayon's Court.
replied back and suggested she contact 311, and I also contacted 311 and with the address and reported it. Estelle sent me an email about the trash on the same day, yard waste not being picked up. I directed her to Linda, and Linda followed up, and the yard waste was removed. April 6th, Megan Brangers, 4100 Northumberland, reached out about installing a fence. I recommend she have her property surveyed before doing so. I went and met with her and showed her where I understood the property lines to be. On 4-3-20, Timothy Dudley sent me an email complaining that someone had laid sticks behind his fence on the main green space. He's on Dickerson. He could not open his gate. I responded back to his email that general cleanup was underway and please be patient. Upon inspecting it myself, I realized that the limbs were falling out of Mr. Dudley's tree in Mr. Dudley's yard. He notified me that he's a taxpayer and stated that he expected it to be resolved. So anyway, it's cleaned up now. We've got all that area cleaned up. Weekly I've turned in violations to Metro 311. I think most of you have seen things starting to change around there. Gutters being fixed, mailboxes being fixed. That's all kind of stuff I've been reporting. Oh, and by the way, last but not least, Linda, streetlights look great. That's it. Thank you.
You're right.
Welcome.
Thank you. All right. Linda, you want to be next? Commissioner Bev?
I did my streetlight check and reported 2 outages on Richland Road on 310. I received a call from John White on the way course concerning the drainage problems he's experiencing. A drifter, Kimball, and I drove over there and met with him and took photos of the area where he feels like poor drainage has resulted in his driveway deteriorating. This is not the first time that he's called about this problem. When we left there, we drove over on Eichenberg Court because on the night that I saw the streetlights on course, and then I got out of my car and panicked, I stepped in water above my suitcase. So, Carol and I drove over there and we took some photos of around 45-16 and 45-10 in the road. There's a storm drain in the yard and it went down the street, and then at the very end of the cul-de-sac there is another very small drain in the yard. So I'm calling MSD. I know Elsie Lisa is a guy that comes out and looks at the problems, and I told MSD, to set up a meeting with somebody there to do the same thing, come out and get the same problem area. So far, I've been unsuccessful in getting anybody to come out. I think a lot of it is not wanting to get out in trouble, but anyway, that's still on the back burner. I received two phone calls and several emails about yard waste being picked up, so I called Chris here, who's running, and he told me that there had been a news report about garbage companies extending the pickup of yard waste, and they included Rumpkin in that list of businesses incorrectly. So, I think that maybe people heard this, and that's why I've had so many calls about it. But anyway, I've assured people that Rumpkin will continue to do the garbage, recycling, and yard waste service on the regularly scheduled days. I received a second complaint about the garbage in the yard at 4504 Greenberg. I filed a complaints are speaking about it. I'm reporting it for prison and I'm including the, not only just the picture, but I'm including the out-of-state address for the property. I don't know what else to do. I mean, if there's a problem with Rumpy not picking up the garbage, then I can call Rumpy. I can't make people take their garbage out. I can't do that. I called the Little Water Company and had service to go to the island, day after tomorrow. And there will be a $30 recapitation fee per meter. So that would be another $90 on the water bill.
For what?
So,
back flush.
What?
Is it back flush?
It's not, it can't be the back flush. We do the back flush.
That's true.
What are they doing?
They're turning the water back on.
Okay, I didn't hear that. That noise was on the phone. So,
turn the water on.
Okay, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Beville. Commissioner Campbell, your turn.
Okay. On March 19th and March 20th, MSD completed work on the drainage issue at the intersection of Northumberland Drive and Bayrun Drive. On March 27th, I met with Linda McGill, who chose the commissioner at Don Reiser's home on the Ray Court. She said a couple of issues and a lot of his driveway, the apron, and his plastic. Adjoining properties also have this problem. Took pictures and sent them to Linda, who will contact MSD. We also went to Hickman's Court, and Linda, she already covered that. On April 3rd and April 4th, I drove the city to assess locations for food, no parking on the street, anytime signs. They will be attached to each sign, no outlet that is already in force. Additional ones will be added to Middlesex Drive, and the new larger signs will replace small ones. Mark locations on map as well as specific addresses. These were sent to Andrew Friedrich at Stacy Cole for a quote on signs as well as installation. All commissioners also received this information. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. And make sure, can I make a suggestion? When Safety Code does come out to put those signs in, hang around with them, because that's 2 years ago when I put the signage in, if you don't hang around with them, they might put it in the wrong spot. And then they have to come out again.
I will ask Andrew for the day they're coming, and
okay.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Did you hear me? I said I'll email you
that. Is there anything else that we need to talk about before we adjourn the meeting? All right, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
A motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Second?
Second.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Y'all have a great evening. Thank you.